everyone, welcome to One Shared Brain Cell with myself, Fiona from The Spare Room, and we have Rich off of the Tarantula Family.
Hello.
And this week we are introducing our brand new co-host, which is my sister Elle.
Hello.
And weirdly, also sounds exactly like Rich, apparently. Yeah, so...
Can I ask a quick question before we start?
Yeah.
Why am I never allowed to host?
Honestly, I've had enough. Maybe you need to find a new co-host. That isn't me.
I think we have.
That's why I'm here. Yeah.
This is an intervention.
Well, welcome, Els.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Tell us all about you. What's your favourite band?
Oh, God, we did this.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, they've got nothing.
There's actually nothing better for a podcast than silence.
Hey, it's my first time.
Right, so we chose Els, L off of my being our, my sibling.
Our Ellie.
Because whilst they have kept a snake and a spider in the past, they have a very limited knowledge of the invert insect reptile world. And we would love that perspective of things.
I'm here to learn.
Here for vibes.
I'm here to vibe. I'm here to learn. I'm here to be the moral touchstone.
Keep us in
you've
check.
Been lacking thus to this point.
So good, so good. So tell us a bit about you. Give us an icebreaker situation.
Oh, God. Well, what genre of thing do you want to know?
Well, I don't want to know any crimes you've committed recently.
What's your plant philosophy?
My plant philosophy? Fuck it, we ball.
Fuck it, we ball.
Okay, that is a rock and roll attitude towards plants.
Could you translate it for people who... are old, not me, definitely not me. What does fuck it we ball mean when in the context of plants?
Well, I used to be a couple of years ago when I've just gone back into plants really. A couple of years ago I had like spreadsheets that had all of the information and every single plant and when it needed to be watered and how much sunlight it needed, and it's just so draining. It's so much to think about. So now I take an approach of I look around at my plants and I go, oh, you need some water, and I give it some water.
Okay, so fuck it, we ball means winging it.
Yeah.
Is it inorganic almost? Do you have an organic attitude towards?
I don't...
I like that.
Like a lot of things with hobbies, I think if you get too into it, it kind of sucks the joy out of it a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an intuitive care.
Yeah, intuitive's a good word.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and it's good to have enough knowledge to be able to intuitively care for something.
Mm. Yeah, that's it. You can't do that without having knowledge.
I thought of making another spreadsheet about what sunlight levels all of them needed, and I looked around at my plants and I went, but I already know that. Mm. I don't need it written down.
I know
what I'm doing.
Yeah. So. Great idea for someone new in any hobby is to have the information down, but that's how you learn in many ways,
exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah.
I do have a spreadsheet of all the plants I have, but that's just because I'm a curious little cat.
Yeah.
But I couldn't put like, but you're right, if you put like how much sunlight, where they need to be watered, oh my God, that would drain another life out of the fun, wouldn't it?
I've got a spreadsheet now with what plants it is, but that's mainly because I'm really into like plant and flower symbolism.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to know what all of the plants mean.
Well, this is great because we've actually brought Elle on so she can advise on absolutely every plant that exists and whether they're safe for animals. And if you're ever wrong, then you can be sued. And you've said that's fine.
Yeah, you did agree.
I signed
that,
a waiver,
saying that I'm completely liable for everything I say.
And you're about to get your first baby tarantula, aren't you? Baby spoodling, aren't you?
You're leaving here today, weren't you? You do have to have one to be on the podcast.
It's been lovely being here. Thank you so much for having me. Look, I have a very healthy appreciation for tarantulas and other arachnids, but that respect of them translates to standing on the other side of a room.
Mm. You can't take care of it if you're on the other side of
exactly.
a room.
Exactly. So
get
don't
closer.
Have pets you can't care for.
Well, yeah.
That is a fantastic way to go through
and
life.
And it is alarmingly good advice.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Unfortunately.
Which is why yeah. I am and not that, taking this tarantula off your hands.
I can't believe in all the podcasts we've ever done, we haven't ever said, haven't ever summed it up like that. This is why we need Elle.
Yeah, I mean, Elle's very eloquent, whereas I would just be like, don't be a fucking dickhead.
She puts the goddamn L in eloquent.
Oh, my
hey.
God. There it is.
That's going on my CD.
Eloquent. Maybe that could be a new
take
Instagram.
The MA off. Put that in.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, I mean, we could workshop your Instagram name, couldn't we?
Hey, you go for it.
I still love autistic about plants. Because you are.
But, meh.
I certainly am. I'm on the spectrum, though, so I'm allowed to say it.
I haven't been on the spectrum since the ISX 81 in 1983.
I wish I understood. I'll just give you a token.
Thank you, I appreciate it. It's more than it deserved.
I'm sure if I understood it, it would be very funny.
There are people out there in their 60s that are laughing at that.
Where are they?
What's the age demographic of this podcast?
It's 18 months plus.
You didn't let me look at any of the analytics before I sat down.
18 months to the grave.
So I like the fact that we've got that extra dimension now, because
yeah.
you're a plant fiend, but it's like now we've got an official dimension of plantageness.
Well, I'm a plant fiend, but I don't have the practical not like mm. If I ever have a problem with a plant, I ring Elle.
Yeah.
So like I rang. I feel like I'm miss.
Gendering
you a lot.
It's okay. It's fine. Okay. It's whatever.
She then whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like if I ever have a problem with a plant, I ring Elle.
Mm.
Like I rang you yesterday and I was like, this isn't propagating properly, what do I do? And they like whips out like a fucking load of advice.
The thing with that though is it's you get a certain level of knowledge and then the rest of it's just making it up.
Vibes, yeah. You get that in
based on
animal kingdom.
Like with the propagation,
though.
Like I said to you, you can either put it back in the water and cross your fingers or you could do this thing and it might not work, but it's a thing you can try.
Yeah, I've planted it now.
Yeah.
Because the stem was dying in the water,
yeah.
So, you know, it was going to die. But anyway, so
yeah.
Yeah.
It comes back up to the philosophy of fuck it, we ball.
Fuck
it,
oh my god, fuck
it,
we ball, bros.
Maybe that's the Instagram.
Fuck it,
we ball.
Oh my god, that would be an amazing name for a ball python breeder.
Yeah, it would,
fuck
yeah,
it, we
yeah,
ball
yeah,
python.
Yes, that would be, yeah.
Oh my god, I'm going to become a ball python. No, I'm not. I can never breed ball pythons. Can you imagine?
I always think you should get into any hobby based on how well you've done the name. If you've come up with a brilliant name, you have to get into that now.
Well, mine was honestly shit. I was in my spare room and went, the spare room.
In fairness, that's how I got my Instagram name. I turned around to my bookshelf and I went, oh, a book on Celtic mythology.
So, what we wanted to do with this episode is, like, just have, like, a little roundup. Because we don't really have a guest. You're not a guest. You're, like, a co-host now. So, we're just going to do, like, a little catch-up, I think.
Mm-hmm.
See how we're all doing mentally, perhaps. Like, we could maybe do some therapy.
Maybe you could explain what we want to do with this episode.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to have, like, a little roundup and, like, a little catch-up, maybe.
Okay, yeah.
See how we're all doing,
yeah.
Like, mentally, maybe.
Yeah, because Elle's isn't a guest, is she? She's
no,
a host.
She's a co-host.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that 99% of our humour is just repeating what the other person has just said.
Yes.
It's, like, the most intense form of echolalia ever.
Yeah.
Echolalia is one of my favourite lilies.
I'm going to let that sit there then. Oh, one thing I do want to talk about is we got stickers. These are the sticker sheets. We have...
Apologies to anyone with headphones.
We have 35, and they are going for £50 each, plus postage. Let us know. DM me. The monies will be going into my account. Some point, maybe back into the podcast, who knows?
I'd like to have it stated that if you start branching off into fucking ASMR, then I'm leaving.
Yes.
Oh my god, I just start like tapping on enclosures, like, we're gonna feed it now. And then you could do like a close up of the crunches. We're going into ASMR. We're going into ASMR.
That's so uncomfortable.
Let's have a catch up.
I literally feel assaulted.
Why don't you tell us how you're feeling?
I have a question. When can I actually use the hashtag MeToo?
I think it was about 30 seconds ago.
Okay. Excellent. So then, podcasts.
Right. Right, catch us up, because you've had a couple of new additions recently.
No.
Yes, you have, stop lying.
No.
This is a podcast, we need to communicate with our listeners.
Oh, okay. Yes, I tell you what, I've had some additions. I've had two proper little slings, and I'm always unconfident with slings, but they seem to be doing well.
Good.
Had, I think I've gone from 1 to 7 in like 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
which is quite nice, because it's a nice big family again.
It's nice to see you getting back into it again, because I know how much you loved it.
Yeah, and it's nice to have... It's nice to have the species that you really love as well. Like having a nice Hamoriae again is lovely, and having a little baby Piamenia is lovely, because mm-hmm. it's going to be nice things to watch grow. And the mystery sling as well, that's going to be lovely to see what
mystery
that is.
Mystery sling. Yeah. I'm actually so excited to see what the mystery sling is.
Mm.
I'm getting bracky vibes off it. I am.
Yeah, it's going to be, yes. It's a lush little colour. It's burrowed, so it could be a burrowing species. It's definitely gone underground.
It's definitely a new world, I know that. Mm. That's the only label I gave it, new world.
Yeah, there's a leaf in its little enclosure, but it's not under the leaf anymore, and I just saw its little tail disappear under the...
Tail?
Into a little hole, yeah.
Tail?
I say tail, I don't know much about tarantulas.
Oh, yeah. Please.
It's got two tails at the back.
As far as I'm concerned, that could be right.
It's spinnerets.
Yeah. That was the DJ for Salt and Pepper. DJ Spinneret. I don't know if that's true or not.
We're just lying at this point, so.
Just lying to get attention.
Okay, so you've had the mystery sling. What's the other sling?
I have no idea.
It's a...
C. elegans.
Cereocosmos elegans. Yeah. Then you had the Piaminia.
I've got the... slightly mysteriously coloured curly hair.
Yeah, it's very blonde.
It's lush, absolutely gorgeous. Very friendly, but sort of really shy.
Yeah.
And I've got the mature male T. vagans that has come to retire.
Ruby.
Yeah, Ruby. He's come to retire and see out his days here.
Mm.
And he's doing very well.
Yeah, he's always out and about. He's been mature like 3 years now.
Madness. Absolute madness.
He's living a happy little life, that boy.
Yeah. A little leggy thing.
Leggy thing.
Nice.
That's you. You've had quite a few nice ones recently. Your memorial is gorgeous, and of course it is named after our elves here.
Which it certainly it is. It is named Eleanor.
It's the highest honour I could possibly receive.
Well, welcome aboard.
Good, so you've got Snuggles as well.
Yes, Snuggles, the hamster, the hamster doodle.
How is Snuggles doing?
Gorgeous.
My favourite girl.
Comes out, I'd say, once in late morning for something to eat, and then I can hear her rummaging around at night from the other room.
She's so nice.
She just loves a cuddle. She's just come to the window to look at me if she can see me. She's gorgeous.
She's beautiful when she comes out, and she's just a little ball of fluff, and she goes on your hand, and it's like you're not holding anything.
Yeah,
she's so light.
Yeah,
you're like,
If I can ever have Daegus again.
Oh, Daegus are lush.
I love those Daegus.
Yeah.
I would love to have ferrets, but
yeah.
Moon would unfortunately see to their end quite quickly.
I bet, yeah.
Mm.
But then again, Moon is a little god, isn't he? So,
mm-hmm.
got Moon first.
My boy.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking of having a bird feeder on our deck in, but I'm scared about attracting birds to the garden because Moon is partial to a bird.
Magpie assassin.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is a magpie assassin.
That would, that's a shame, that, because that would be just almost cruel, wouldn't it, to lure them in for him?
Just for my, like, just for the off chance that I'll be able to have a look at them for a minute, yeah. So bird feeders off, but I do want to get a big bug house. He's not interested in bugs.
We've got really nice ones in B&M at the moment.
Oh.
Not sponsored.
Other discount brands are available.
Unless they want to send you one.
Unless B&M wants to sponsor us. I do spend a lot of money there.
In which case, there are no other brands.
There are some solid little things in B&M that you can
walk
around.
I'm going there after this. Yeah. I can't wait. Yeah. Excited. So, me then.
Yeah. That's Elves, what have you were?
I was going to do the animals first.
What additions?
What? Because plants are less important,
huh?
Because plants are less important.
I do fear they are. I'm so sorry.
The living creatures.
Right. What's new with me? what's new with me? So not a lot really. I have now got 4 tarantulas. So I've got Morgan, the G. pulchra, I've got Boo, the H. phimosis, I've got Cloud, the T. albo, and I decided to keep one of the grown-on slings from the rescue I did a couple weeks ago. There was a grown-on sling that looked a lot like an Aesawani, because they have quite a characteristic like blonde underside. It doesn't have any stripes yet, but it also has that like bluey sheen, which some Aesawanis have. So it's a guess, but she has burrowed straight down, so I reckon I'm right. And I do have a 5th on the way, but I won't discuss that until she's arrived, because it is for me major.
Okay, exciting.
Yeah.
Haven't you just done that amazing thing as well, where you've been through and sorted out lots of enclosures and upgraded loads and got them all tidy and
So Morgan, Boo and Cloud are all in live planted now. I don't want to go bioactive yet, because I think they've all got springtails in, but I don't want to put isopods in, because I think they'll just eat them, because Boo and Cloud are juveniles, and I think they'll eat them.
I think they'll eat the isopods.
Yeah. Whereas Morgan might not, but she might, because she'll eat anything. She could literally be in actively molting and she'll find a way to eat.
Oh, okay.
but her enclosure I'm particularly happy with. I've got, in hers, I've got some ivy, I've got Boston fern, and I've got some Peperomia rotundifolia, which is like Peperomia round leaves, but they're on a vine. But she actually dug them up last week and deposited them on the other side of her enclosure.
Okay.
It seems for no reason other than to make me sad. Ooh. So I put them back, and then since she's trampled them, she's like torn them apart. I don't know how she's done it. She's torn them apart. So I've taken those out now, or what I could find of them. She clearly doesn't like them for whatever reason. But she's getting along with the ivy and the Boston fern. Then in Boo's enclosure, which is a little bit drier, but not dry, she's got an aloe, a snake plant, and a Trandoscantia zebrina, which is like a pretty purple one. And then in Cloud's enclosure is a snake plant. That's it. Not snake plant, spider plant. Talking out my ass.
That's why we've got elves.
Yeah,
you've got lots of other plants as well.
I do. I have about 52 plants in my house, not including the ones that are enclosures. So, yeah.
That's cool, though, because ivy and Boston ferns are notoriously difficult houseplants to keep alive, but I think that's because a lot of people don't keep them moist enough.
Yeah.
So in an enclosure where it needs to be moist, I imagine that's, like, the perfect environment for it.
Yeah, and they get really bright light as well. Yeah, the fern, it's like you were talking about, like, you have knowledge to intuitively look after your plants. Like Boston ferns, the second they start to dry out, they just look a bit like, so you're like, oh, give that a spray. But yeah, the ivy's good.
I don't have a good track record with keeping ivy.
No. I had ivy for a little while when I was in my old house, when I had the spare room version 1, and I had it trailing down the racking.
The bugger about ivy in the wild is you can't stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's got its irrepressible will to invade everything.
I think that's a little bit why I chose to put it in Morgan's enclosure, because they're quite hardy. And if I trim it back, it won't die.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just bought at the garden centre, you know, you can buy, like, the baby plants. And they're, like, £3.
Oh, okay, cool.
And, yeah, I just bought a bunch of those and put them in Morgan's enclosure.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's nice. It's all coming up Millhouse. Tofu's good. She's in blue. I know she'd been going into shed for a little while because she stopped eating. And she, again, she's so food motivated. She only stops when she's going into that process. Rowan's good. She's shedding. Honey, the Leo, she's shedding. So everyone's getting new skin. But I think Cloud might be in pre-mock because the T elbow had a big abdomen and has gone completely underground. That's the one where I did him a lovely new enclosure with that tube, and the next day she completely blocked it.
Oh yeah.
Possibly the funniest thing that a tarantula has ever done. Like,
yeah.
Please fuck off, and when you fuck off again.
Yeah, and I'm making sure you do.
Yeah. So yeah, everything's good with me. Can't complain. One thing I have found though, when I took those rescues on, is like part of me now only have five tarantulas, I say, is that I miss the days where I had like three huge racks of spiders, and I loved seeing like what they were up to, and like there were some that were more active in the day, some that only came out at night, some like the H-Mac and the S-Cows and the Pokies that I never. They're like old world arboreals, so I wouldn't really see that often, and when they came out, it was like, oh my god, they exist, you know, and you kind of, I kind of miss that. But having said that, when I had those 17, it should have been 18, but one of them was dead, 17 tarantulas from that rescue, and the scorpion, is I was so stressed. And I'm just actually really enjoying putting all of my energy into a small amount of animals.
That's the key, isn't it? Knowing where you're really happy and really, because it's so easy to get addicted to buying them and opening them and the process of putting a new enclosure together. But then before you know it, it's easy to think, do you know, I've got too many.
Yeah.
It's like it now takes me a whole day to just check on them, which is.
Yeah, well, back in the day I'd a rota, so I'd do the adults one day, the juveniles the next, and I had so many slings the next day, especially when I got into breeding, I had hundreds. So yeah, it was a big old job. And you know, as well, like in the summer when you get like the heat waves, you have to spray them down, like, you know, 2 or 3 times a day when it was at the peak of the heat waves, and you're doing that for 80 plus tarantulas, you know, it does get wearing. And you know, and I stopped posting on the spare room for a little while because my animals became a chore to me. And I just took some time to enjoy them again. And like we discussed in episodes before, I went through that breakup, so I had to rehome a lot of my animals, so I couldn't take them with me. And I just ended up keeping a few, and I'm just really happy. It's really manageable.
The amazing thing about animal care that we very rarely ever think of is, as we've just sort of discussed, is that you don't just need the knowledge of how you look after the animal, you need the knowledge of how comfortable you are with looking after so many animals. You need to know yourself as well as you know the animals, I think.
I mean, if a rescue situation came up again, I'd do it in a heartbeat, but I just know day to day that amount of animals isn't for me anymore. It's good.
Yeah, because even though, as we said before, tarantulas are incredibly easy to look after, there is something mentally draining about having 80.
Oh,
you
God,
know,
yeah. It's a lot.
I think that's the same with anything, though, because if I'm coming at it from a point of view of, like, plants, before I had the whole thing where thrips and, like, fruit flies wiped out all of my plants, I had so many that were very high maintenance, and I think you lose, like, kind of appreciation with plants, certainly, for, like, the aesthetics of it. Whereas now I've kind of narrowed it down to a couple of leafy plants that I like, and then a lot of, like, succulents, like jade plants, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to appreciate what you have when your mental health is not focused on keeping 800 things alive.
So much. And, like, when you decide as well to be when you not even decide when, like for me, I could only keep like 4 or 5, so I had to be really selective. Mm. And actually, that's really exciting as well.
Mm.
Instead of having the option of being like, I'll have whatever, whenever, because I have this massive room, which you know is just as exciting in one way, but also in another, being having to be really selective has been exciting for me, because by comparison, the species that I'm keeping aren't considered exciting or exotic. I mean, the fifth one that's come in is exceptionally exciting for me. But, you know, they're not pokies. They're not, you know, it's not communal of Balfourius, you know. And I would love, love, love to keep Salmopeus for one day, but right now it's just not going to happen. But, yeah, just being like, okay, what species do I love?
Mm.
And then keeping those.
Yeah. It's like self-medicating, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You want enough that it occupies you and it engages your brain with them, but you don't want so many that it becomes so stressful and self-defeating that you're not enjoying it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I picked Boo, the H. formosus, because my space is limited, so I wanted a dwarf.
I gave you so many good pumpkin-related names that you just didn't go with.
Yeah, I know, because they were
so
bad.
So disappointed.
I went real original with it. Boo.
You could have had, what was that one? It was like Great Jim Bob.
A type of pumpkin. It was ridiculous. It was like the Great Almighty Jim or something. It was ridiculous. Types of pumpkin.
Amazing. I know nothing about pumpkins.
No, me neither.
They have a lot of names as it transpires.
As it transpires. Yeah, and then I picked Cloud because curly hairs, I just have... It was my first ever tarantula, it was a curly hair. I just have a like, really special place in my heart. And then Ace Amanis as well. I just love them.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're so beautiful.
I think we said before, there is something very enjoyable about having the... what people would describe as most basic tarantula species.
Mm-hmm.
They're popular for a reason, because they're lovely to look at, nice temperaments, you see them a lot, and they're pretty. Yeah.
This fifth
like
one.
Me. Elves, I mean, I'm going to ask for advice now.
Yeah.
There was three bonds I bought at the same time.
Yeah.
Two were kept in a different place, a different, a completely different house, and they're flourishing like fuck.
Okay.
Mine, that's in my bedroom now, has got 2 leaves left on it.
Right.
But it was infested with fruit flies. Is that going to be it?
Well, okay. So it's... Bonsai is a... If I'm correct in thinking this, which I think I am, bonsai is like a umbrella term.
Yeah.
Lots of different trees can be
bonsais.
You can have perennials, you can have non-perennials. So it would probably be down to... It's going to be down to 3 things. It's going to be light level, if you've overwatered it or underwatered it, and bugs.
Okay.
Fruit flies are annoying, but they don't tend to like attack the plant itself.
Oh,
they're more
okay.
just a pest. It's if you get like thrips and stuff, that's going to...
I think it's probably going to be light level then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nice when it was out here.
Yeah, it survived... the whole of the summer and through the into the autumn, but as soon as I kept having the curtains drawn for
that'll be it then.
Yeah, it's going to be that, isn't it? Yeah.
And like heat level as well, like if it gets too cold or too hot, some plants are just fussy.
Yeah, I never have the heating one in here, so oh well, bugger. Yeah, the two at Fiona's place are flourishing like fuck. Probably 50% bigger than they were when she bought them.
I'm sure. Has she repotted them?
No.
Mm. I'm sure that if you rectify.
Yeah, we've all repotted them. We've repotted all three.
Hmm. Put it back in here then. That'll be fine, won't it?
Yeah.
Back where the sun is.
Hey, you could only try.
That's very true. Because if
me talking to my prayer plants,
please,
please.
Yeah.
I don't want to brag, right? But my Maranta right now, all her leaves are up.
Oh.
She's looking incredible seeds.
Yeah. My prayer plant was one of the ones that I lost to the thrips. I was like, okay, never mind.
What are thrips?
They're like little... You barely ever see the bugs themselves. They're like little tiny bugs. And usually you only see their eggs or their droppings on the leaves. They're like little black dots.
Oh, okay.
And they will spread if you don't deal with them immediately. And at the time... I had very little energy for my plants, so I kind of had a moment of, well, fuck it.
Ah, okie dokes.
I probably could have saved the majority of my plants, but I just wasn't in that headspace at the time.
Which, again, is important, isn't it? Yeah.
I'd burnt myself out on plants to the point where I was like, well, they die.
I think if I got thrips in all 50 of mine, I would be in tears.
Mm.
Where do they come from, then? Outside? They brought in...
It tends to be soil. All it takes is one bag of soil from... Not to name drop B&M again, but that's where the soil came from. That's got, like... thrips and or fruit fly larva in it.
It's just one of those things.
Which is why people preach so often of like making your own soil, but that's expensive as fuck.
You've got to have the space to do it as well, I think. Yeah.
I've got a really nice soil recently. Let me just check the brand. I think it's Oakfield.
Yeah. Oakfield good.
Soil. Hang on. Let me just check.
Again, other brands of soil are available.
Not for me. It might be... Is it Oakfield? No.
I've got a little... I don't know what it is. I'm terrible with plant names.
That's okay, Rich. I don't know any of the Latin names of my plants.
Okay, I didn't know the English names or the British names. The common names. I went to put a bit of... there's not enough... It was... For some reason, there was plenty of dirt soil in it when I bought it. Not bought it. When I potted it. And then when I looked a week or two ago, there was like half of it was missing.
That'll be because, did you like compact the soil down when you repotted it?
Yeah, that's
interesting because usually it happens when you don't compact it enough and the...
It settles.
Water settles into the...
Yeah.
Weird.
But I thought I had a bag of compost on the balcony. There was only a tiny little bit left in it. So I went to mix it with cocoa coir from an old enclosure. As I put my hand in, a goddamn darkling beetle flew out.
Oh!
I was like, no, thank you. And then there's another one in the substrate still. And I was fantastic.
Wonderful news.
Yeah, that's what I really want to do, is have darkling beetles everywhere.
Mm. That houseplant soil is by Westland. And it's not expensive either.
No.
I got 10 litres for $5.99, and it's the softest... It's gorgeous.
It's good.
It's soft and it's got got nutrients in. They're good for plants.
Again, not spawns, but
plants. House plant.
Okie dokes.
Westland do a nice range of. They do like cactus and succulent soil.
Yeah.
They do orchid soil. Yeah.
I bought the cactus one for my gymnocalcium.
Yeah, I had to save a Thanksgiving cactus the other day. It's like I'm not putting this back in normal soil. It's too damp.
I've got something exciting that happened to me recently, so I'll ask you. Have you ever been... So I've got a list on my phone of plants that I want to acquire. And some of them aren't rare, some of them are a bit more expensive. For example, for my birthday coming up, you bought me a variegated string of peas, big pot of it, which is on my list, expensive plant. And then my stepmom bought me a Thai constellation monstera, like baby, which is, again, quite expensive.
Can you put that in a corner? Or is it going to be positioned to end up...
Bright and direct, because they're variegated. What?
That doesn't matter, sorry.
Oh, did I not get the joke?
No, it's a brilliant joke as well.
What did you say? Oh, baby.
Yeah.
Don't put baby in the corner.
Oh.
So sorry.
Oh.
I've not seen that film.
No,
so.
Me neither. I've never seen it.
No. Yeah, so anyway, now I'm going non-verbal.
Sorry.
So, Rich!
Well, that's how you bring that to a close.
So, my question to you is... So, I was in the garden centre the other day, and there was a cactus that I have never seen in a garden centre, which I have almost ordered online about 6 or 7 times. But I've said to myself, like, no... You know, like, save this for Christmas or, like, a birthday or something. Because it's a small cactus. It's called a ruby ball. It's called a gymnocalcium variegator. And it's a variegated cactus. And it looks stunning. But it's small. It's a small cactus. So I'm like, 20 quid for a cactus. That's a lot of money, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I was in the garden centre. And I look to my right, and there is the exact one I'm looking for. And I literally said to myself out loud, well, fuck off, like that. Oh, my God. And I was holding a lemon and lime Maranta, and I put this plant down so quickly. I was like, right, Fee, you can have one or the other. And I was like, goodbye to you, Maranta. Picked up this thing. Bucket list plant for me. It's not expensive, but I was just like, I'm so taken by them. So my question to you, is, have you been in a garden centre and you've seen something, and it's not just like, oh, you're pretty, you're coming home with me, but being like, I need that plant expeditiously?
I don't know, because I don't really have a list of plants that I want. I just kind of have... I'm really bad for walking into a Morrison's plant section when I'm meant to be going for something else and just going, oh, this orchid is on its last leaf, so they'll give that to me for 50p, and taking it. I don't know. I've never walked in and found anything rare that I really wanted. There was that time I got that candlestick cactus off that lady on Facebook Marketplace, and that, after months of not knowing what the fuck it was, it ended up being really rare. It's like, that was cool. But yeah, no, I just kind of, I have a very, you're coming home with me, approach to walking into a garden centre.
It was more just like, you see something and you're like, holy fuck.
Yeah, well, it's like, if I go to the garden centre now, I'll walk past the rare plant section, take a picture of it for you, or send the bonsai ones to Rich.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'll occasionally see like a little succulent. I'm like, you're very aesthetically pleasing. I'll have that.
Do you want my succulents?
No.
I'm not really into... Do you know what? I've got a soft spot for cactus, but I only have a few. But I'm not really arsed about succulents.
Can you come and retrieve your child from my flat, please?
No.
I don't want your monstera.
Why?
Because I've looked after it for fucking 6 months.
A year. No, it was almost a year.
Come and get your child.
Oh, but I've got a way to put it.
Build a massive enclosure.
I might plant it in the garden.
Build a massive enclosure for a mono centropus balfouri communal.
And put my monstera in it.
Yeah.
Balfouri that... Don't they stay... Aren't they dry?
I've fucking no idea. I haven't got a clue what I'm talking about.
Monstera high humidity.
Well, I'm literally just saying things because I haven't said anything for a while.
So what's on the horizon for you, Rich?
Literally just getting on and being happy with what I've got.
Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the same.
The only thing, a project I've got is building a little playpen for Snuggles the hamster.
Aww.
I've got her a little paddling pool thing, and...
For sand or water?
It's going to be... I'm working my way through what is it I want to put in there.
Sand bath.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be a little bowl of sand in there, so I need to find the right sand. There's going to be little places to hide.
Yeah.
So I want it to be like her second home, because
it's quite enriching for her.
She doesn't... She'll come out and she'll wander around the floor, but she's not comfortable enough to eat or anything, because I'm guessing she's sort of nervous.
Mm-hmm.
So I want her to be comfortable somewhere where she can come out and I can, you know, she can interact a bit more, because she is very sociable, and I think she's got more to play with then.
Yeah.
I'm collecting little things to fill up with things and put in, so that's the only project I've got.
I actually have a question for you about hamsters.
Oh yeah, go.
I see a lot of these videos on Instagram and stuff about people who make little assault courses for their hamsters, and I always think it must be quite enriching, but I'm also like, is it actually?
Well, I think they're weird little creatures in terms of how adventurous and robust they are. Like, I always think of Snuggles as being completely fragile, like a little dollop of fragility.
Mm.
But the amount of times, and I don't even know how she does it, because she's about 6 inches away, but the amount of times I see her, like, army climbing with her hands on the top.
They're robust little things.
They are, yeah. And I'm like, don't fall, don't fall. And then she'll just drop to the... Luckily, she's got massively deep... layer of substrate.
Yeah, she doesn't have far to fall, does she?
I must imagine they like sort of little mazes. And
I think so. I think they're just very adventurous,
I think it is good for their brains, because in the wild they just forage constantly, don't they?
Well, there you go. Next time you're on Instagram and you see someone put their hamster through a Minecraft-themed death maze, you know that it's okay. It's
going well. Because I've watched, like, Snuggles has got, like, a little ramp goes down one side and comes up the other side, and it's like a, you know, as you've seen, it's like wooden.
Yeah.
But she won't jump, she won't go down it and come up the other side. She'll stand there and then jump to the other side.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I think it's just either too lazy to go down and out, or whether it's just more fun to jump.
I saw a really good one. I can't remember the name of the YouTube channel, but he does a lot of, like, bioactive enclosures for animals. But he rescued a hamster from a pet shop, and it was in this tiny thing. and he made a tunnel maze into a bioactive enclosure for the hamster.
Oh,
that's fair.
And it's just about this hamster, like, leave, and it keeps going back to the old one because that's what it knows, and it likes its wheel. So at the end, he puts the wheel in the bioactive enclosure.
Amazing. It's like, some people are just so
you don't think level. About hamsters as like animals that dig through dirt, but
no,
they do.
Yeah. I had a hamster like a long time ago, and as soon as you really get into any animal or species, you realise how they're happiest.
Yeah,
like I keep this hamster nothing like I kept my first one.
I remember having hamsters as a kid.
Yeah, and they get like when you're a kid, a hamster would have about half an inch of substrate.
Yeah.
Couldn't dig.
Yeah,
burrow.
If I had gerbils again now.
Yeah, I think you should.
I love a rodent. I do, but there are
being one yourself.
Yeah, there are a lot of commitment though, and like all animals, obviously they're a big commitment.
They are only like mini cuddlers.
Yeah.
With something like a cat, you can have a proper cuddle with a cat and a dog. Yeah. Whereas you've really got to take your chances that you can actually ever cuddle a hamster.
Yeah. My friend's brother's got a chinchilla that's really old, and you always think, oh great, I bet they cuddle with that all the time. And Tim's just like, no, we don't touch the chinchilla.
Yeah, they can be quite vicious.
Doesn't like it.
Yeah, that's always a shame. If you're going to have a cuddly animal, like if you get like tarantulas, you're basically buying them on the understanding that you're never going to cuddle it.
Yeah.
Very likely to ever rarely touch it. But when you have a cuddly hamster or a cuddly cat or a cuddly chinchilla, you want it to be friendly, don't you?
Yeah. Have I told you about getting in trouble in school because I was selling hamsters?
No.
Oh, so I grew up with hamsters. So my first hamster, our nan, bought for me. It was a little Russian dwarf hamster. I called it Tiny. And then Tiny died. And then I had Fluffy. Fluffy was the love of my life. Then she died. And then I had a white hamster called Snowball. And he was a boy. And he's an albino hamster. And he had massive balls. They were huge.
As they do.
Yeah. And then, weirdly, there was a grocery shop by my house that also sold birds and hamsters. It was bizarre. Anyhoops. So, there was a really cheap albino female.
Oh, no.
So, I bought it. And this was a running theme in my life. I used to buy animals and just bring them home. And then just bet on my mum being like, well, we can't return it.
Like that puppy you brought home from that music festival.
Yeah, and the frogs and the snails and the stick insects. I kept numerous spiders under my bed. Anyway, back to hamsters. So I, without my parents' knowledge, I bred them. They then gave birth and they had a bunch of babies. And I was selling them for £2.50 at my school. And I got in a lot of trouble. I was bringing them in, like, they were like, I'd like, because when I used to go to Pets at Home, they'd give you like the boxes with air holes in. So I was like finding boxes around the house, like poking air holes in them, bringing a baby, like they weren't like fresh out the mum babies, because you know, as a responsible breeder, they were good like 2 months old, so they were fluffy and like, you know, they weren't, I wasn't bringing like jelly beans to school, you know.
They were capable. They were ready to go.
They could live in a box for 6 hours while you're in education.
So what happened?
And so, very rapidly, my mum got called to the school, and they were like, "We've had complaints from numerous parents that your daughter has sold their child a hamster." And my mum was like, "What do you mean?" And I got in trouble. I had to give my £2.50s back.
No.
They didn't give me the hamsters back. Fucking fuming. My mum was like, "No, they're keeping the hamsters and you're giving that money back." And I was like, "Why? Why? They've got the hamsters." Yeah. They paid for the hamsters.
That
and she
does not seem fair.
And my mum was mortified because, like, I would never be in a situation where my children would be able to breed animals without my knowledge, but objectively it's a little bit funny, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You weren't doing anything wrong.
No, I thought I mean that's what shops do. They breed hamsters and sell them. I was, you know, young enterprise.
Kids love hamsters.
Yeah, £2.50 is a fucking bargain for a hamster, I'm telling you. So anyway, so I wasn't allowed to breed hamsters anymore, but I did do it again.
With hamsters again?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
But this time, oh my God, the first time me and my friend tried to breed our hamsters, so I had Fluffy that was black, and my friend Imogen also had a black hamster, I can't remember his name, and we were too young to have no concept of... Because with hamsters, I think you... I can't remember which way round it is, but I think you have to put the female in with the male, because if you put the male in with the female, it's like... He's on her territory and she's going to go... No, I can't... But I can't remember. But you have... To, it's specific... You can't just put them in. One has to go in with the other specifically. Anyway, we just thought if we put them both in a hamster ball, it would be fine.
Oh.
And then he started fighting. And luckily, thank the fuck... Thank God, neither of them were hurt. We separated them. We were like, why didn't it work? But I literally remember carrying Fluffy to my friend's house in a Tupperware box in my backpack, like hoping my mum didn't check my backpack. So I get home and my mum's like, how's Imogen? I was like, yeah, cool. I'm going to go upstairs now. Like, literally, like...
I feel like a younger you applied the same logic to hamsters as you do with those squishy alien toys, where you have to, like, put them back to back, they'd have a baby.
Yeah, they'd have a baby. Yeah, so Fluffy didn't have babies because obviously we didn't pair them like, even nearly correctly. But that was a couple years before I successfully bred my albino hamsters. But yeah, I wasn't allowed to do it again, so naturally I did it again. And this time I sold them for £5. But the first one I sold to my mum, but she only had a tenner on her, so I said, do you know what that'll do? And I didn't give her change. And she was like, can I have change? And I was like, no.
I am so pleased to see that your animal care has come on so far.
Yeah, a little bit.
You've probably blossomed as a pet owner, haven't you?
Yeah, true. If that's the comparison, then yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like full child. Like, this is primary school age, so I was under the age of 11. But yeah, I got in a lot of trouble for that one.
Yeah,
but the thing is, I was like 8, and like 8 or 9, because I remember it was year 5, so what's that, 9, 10, and I just didn't understand what the fuss was about.
Seems perfectly reasonable.
Because if my kid came home from school with a hamster, I'd be like, let's fucking go and get it a setter. Yeah. What are you calling it? Let's get it a ball, let's go.
I'm assuming that obviously the kids that were buying the hamsters didn't have a cage ready to go and didn't have
they absolutely didn't.
I feel like the parents complete it's may more have been them having to go out and buy expensive things for the hamster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I said to everyone, I was like, right, the hamsters are ready to go. I had a list of people and I'd collected the £2.50s. I labelled the boxes.
It's not the worst thing you could be selling in primary school.
Very
true, though? Yeah. I think for an 8-year-old or 9-year-old, I was very diligent. Like, the boxes all had holes in. I'd written my friends' names on it. Like, I'd had this list. I ticked off everyone to give me their £2.50s. But I remember checking and being like, are you going to take care of it? Are you going to love it? Are you going to cuddle it? You know, asking the questions that you think are important as a child. Like, are you going to cuddle it? Are you going to love it? And stuff like that. And, like, I remember this one boy who was like, oh, I'm going to get my dog to chase it. And I was like, you're not having one of mine. No, you're not going on the list. So, you know, as far as a child can be diligent...
Your ethics were there. The basics of your ethics were there. Yeah.
What am I going to do with 10 hamsters? I bred them for a reason. To bring joy to the local community. And all it did was bring me pain.
And financial loss.
But it's really funny. It's a really great tactic for selling, though, because once the kid has it, as a parent, you're not going to tell him, we've got to give that hamster back now.
Yeah.
Mm. So maybe I should go back into selling children hamsters.
In coordination with Pets at Home, because they'll have to go somewhere to get the hamster cages
commission.
Yeah.
Oh my god, yeah, but their care is awful in Pets at Home.
Oh, do you know what, I'm going to say this now, because I think it's something, it's a nice thing that's happened.
Okay.
Pets at Home were, well, Vets at Home, Vets for Pets in Barry, were amazing with our little Aussie bunny that's just been put down. They gave, you have to say what you want to do, and they gave a little hand-signed, handwritten card from the vet and the nursing team saying, sorry about your loss and stuff. And there's a little... I've got to ask you to print a picture out for me at work if you can.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a little A4 sheet, and it's got each one of little Ozzy's little footprints on it. And there's a little vial of her hair, so we can make a little shrine thing for her.
Aww.
So it's all going in a little frame.
Oh,
and
that's lovely.
And they couldn't have been more amazing. They was like, that's like the care they've shown is genuinely amazing. It's all in like a little bag, and her ashes are in a little box, and you get to choose whether you want to have like her cremated by herself, so you get all her just her ashes back and things. The amount of care was absolutely amazing.
Do you know what? We used to take, when we lived near you, we took our kitten to Vets for Pets in Barry, and they were incredible.
Mm.
They were amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's such a lovely thing to do.
Yeah,
like,
really, really nice, yeah.
The footprints are so lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had similar with Kira when she passed. I had a snake for a while, and they sent me like a hand-signed letter, and then they'd done prints of her scales on her tummy.
Oh, that's lush. Yeah.
They did that for me with Mara, like her little paws, my bearded dragon.
Nice.
Yeah. It's really, really sweet.
Yeah,
because they don't have to do that, do they? It's like, it's nice that it shows that they actually care.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
It's funny because when I was buying Snuggles, the bloke that sold it to me was really cool. He was like, I'd never seen him in there before. I don't think I've seen him in there since, but it might just be the time of day I went in. He was asking me all these questions. What sort of substrate are you keeping on? What size?
Oh my God,
what
he
size?
Like, he was like the ghost of...
He was the ghost of...
keeping.
Yeah. And he wouldn't... It was almost like he wouldn't let me buy it if I didn't have the... Do you know what wet tail is? And I was like, luckily I'd watched loads of YouTube videos and things.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's this stress-related thing. And, he wouldn't... I definitely got the vibe he wasn't going to let me have it just because I was a grown up buying a hamster. It's like that wasn't good enough. It was like,
there's a guy in the local Pets at Home as well that does that for the fish.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I've had, I've not been looking to buy fish recently, but I like to go in and look at them sometimes because I have ADHD. I just got chatting to him because I was like, I always thought if they had, like, you know, the Plecostomuses, the little...
No,
they're like little catfish-looking things, but they eat the algae in the tank.
Oh, cool.
And I always thought it'd be cool to just have a tank of them. So I got chatting to him, and he's like, no, you can't just have a tank of them, because they can't, like, only subsist on algae. They need, like, fish poo and shit to eat.
Oh, okay.
It's very cool. He cares... I feel like he cares a lot about fish.
That's exactly what you want in a pet shop, isn't it?
What you need in pet shops is autistic people who really, really care. And I can say that because I am.
No, you're right. You want somebody that has massive passion and a massive capacity to understand.
You are not having this fish unless I know you are going to keep it in a 10-gallon tank.
The guy that sold me Snuggles, he said, what bedding are you going? And I said this. He said, oh, you don't want that, you prick, have this.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a bit far, but I appreciated his passion.
Oh, so you want your hamster to die?
Yeah.
The only thing I don't appreciate about Pets at Home is that they can sell you a log of wood for 40 quid.
Mm.
Why is it so expensive?
Yeah,
don't get me started on the price of wood.
Is it just because it's treated, or...?
I went to my local reptile store the other day. It was quite a while ago. It was when I was setting up Boo's enclosure, and because she's a heavy webber, I want loads of anchor points, right? So, because I've only got a few tarantulas now, like back in the day when I had loads, I'd go out on a hike, I'd go and collect my own sticks, then I'd bake them and I'd make sure they were sterilised. But like now I've only got four, I don't really need to do that. I've got the money to, you know. Anyway, bunch of twigs that they had found in their garden, they had baked, they were ready to go in a little vine. I'm talking like the most basic twigs you've ever seen. Not like when you're on a hike and you're like, that's a nice twig, that I'm going to come back for it. £5.50, I nearly threw up. I thought, this is daylight fucking robbery. So what I did is bought something else, and it looks great now.
Yeah.
I was like, that's ridiculous.
I picked up a standard twiggage or bark branch thing from the reptile section, and the guy said, oh, you don't want that one, this butt might be a bit sharp.
Mm.
And he took me over to where the bird section is that I'd never been to before, right over in the corner, and I ended up getting that smooth one.
Yeah,
that was a brilliant piece of wood. That was an amazing piece of wood, and I'd never known it was there.
Mm.
So it's nice when people care, but the prices can be a bit on the rough side, can't they?
Yeah, for reptiles and stuff, you can often check like the hamster section as well, because sorry, you were checking the bird section, but like in bigger Pets at Homes, not the one here, is a bit small.
Yeah.
They have like specific hamster sections which have like softer woods and like not as pointy and things.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's good.
That's what you want.
So are we about done then, lads?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's been a lovely chat, and I hope that our Elles.
Stop looking at me.
Don't touch. Don't touch me with your eyes.
Why has it come to here to start throwing strays at you?
It's been
I absolutely love a stray that is just out of pocket.
Yeah,
and just like, why?
It's throwing me off as well, because it's like we're sat in the living room and I've looked at you and you've gone, don't look at me. It's like
you've been told in your own home.
Yeah, it's like it's like we're out somewhere and I'm a pest. Yeah, fully valid, obviously.
You are a pest wherever you go, not just out.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So we're looking for a new host if anybody's a
preferably someone who
You're leaving then, yeah?
Burn!
So, yeah, let's wrap it up, guys, because I've got things to do, to be honest, that don't involve either of you.
Well, I know that's not true.
I want to go B&M. I'm redecorating our bathroom this week, so I'm going to go buy all the accessories now. Oh. Bloody exciting is that?
Well, perhaps we should say goodbye then.
Yeah, I reckon. So, yeah, bye.
So, welcome, Elle. Welcome aboard. Lovely to have you.
Oh, thank you.
I'll cut the other one out. That was just went wrong.
No, I liked it.
Thank you very much for joining us. We shall speak to you soon with our regular programming. We have lots of fascinating guests coming up and a very interesting, fun debate coming very soon about who has the most friends, tarantulas or scorpions.
Oh, I thought you were going to say out of the three of us then.
Oh, it's definitely not me.
It's me.
All my friends are in this room. Do you know what? I feel really safe having you both here.
Oh.
Safe.
Yeah, because gargoyles always ward off evil. And on that note,
I'll take it.
Yes. Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.